The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hello, welcome to the Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, your host for the show, and I'm the founder of the charity Yes to Life that helps people with cancer in the UK understand and access the benefits of integrative medicine. My guest on the show today is someone who's had cancer themselves while still a teenager and who's gone on quite a bit later in life to write a book about the experience, 18 and Cancer, as he wanted to share some of the things he'd learned from the experience. I'm speaking to Tamas Finse over Skype. Hi Tamas, thank you very much for coming to tell us about your book and your experience with cancer.
Robin, thanks very much for having me. It's a great pleasure to have this conversation with you.
So, cancer is a strange world. Even though half of us are destined to have it at some time during our life, there's a sort of mass denial going on, in as much as no one wants to know about it unless they're absolutely forced to. And as a result, every diagnosis is kind of like landing on a remote and totally unfamiliar planet. All in all, it's a completely traumatic event. So is your book aimed at people who have been there or who are there or at the rest who are living in the hopes of avoiding it?
That's a good question. When I wrote the book, I was thinking of how can I distill my experience of going through cancer into a very short book that goes to the heart of the matter. And to be honest, it's written for... This is. I think of the book as the guide that I wanted to have when I was going through cancer. So from that perspective, you could say that it's written for somebody that's about to embark on the experience of unfortunately facing cancer.
Mm. Okay, and so you had to face a situation which, although it's still unusual, is tragically becoming increasingly common. At a time in life when you would have been looking out into the world, confident in a kind of seemingly endless future to spend exploring the potential of life, at age 18, you stopped right in your tracks. And, well, would you take us back to that day and just tell us what you experienced?
That day had to be one of the darkest days of my life. If I can give you a bit of a background...
Yes.
It was 2003, and my family was just in the transition of moving from Hungary, where I'm from originally, over to Vienna in Austria,
mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful change that we have all been looking forward to. And during the autumn of 2003, we spent a couple of days in Vienna, and everything was just wonderful. And one morning, I woke up to the most horrible pain I ever felt in my life. I had night sweats, and I just felt like, I just had this feeling as if two hands were gently suffocating my neck, if you can say the word gently.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Upon feeling that, I immediately rushed to the mirror, and I saw these two golf ball-sized lymph nodes in my neck that had just swollen up, and then the first question was, what is it doing there, and you know, how long has it been there? And I had absolutely no idea what it was doing it, but when you face, you know, something so serious, or what turns out to be something so serious, you have a sense of that this is not right, that shouldn't be there.
Mm, sure.
This was in the autumn of 2003, and then basically from there It took about a month for us to get the full diagnosis. As just as any other cancer patient, we have been through the whole series of hospitals and doctors and checks, you know, biopsies, so on and so forth. And at, just before Christmas, I was diagnosed with stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma. Right. So that's really the summary of the diagnosis. But you know, it wasn't just a dark period for me. It was also a dark period for my family as well. None of us really knew what to do with it at first and how to handle it. Mm.
Yeah. So your book, which we're going to come on to shortly, 18 and Cancer, you describe as being a philosophical book. But nonetheless, I'd just like to go over the facts, if you like, of what happened to you over the period of your treatment and how it turned out. If you could just summarize it briefly.
Sure. So I was very fortunate to have had a relatively early diagnosis in terms of the evolution of cancer and the various stages. Mm-hmm. And I was prescribed chemotherapy, a total of 12 sessions spread across 6 months. And I began therapy at the end of December, so just around Christmas. And therapy lasted just before the beginning of 2004 summer. And at the end of 2004 summer, I was making really, really good progress in terms of the recovery. The medication was working well. I was responding well, although I had the myriad of side effects that other people face as well, of course.
Yes.
Unfortunately, in 2004, at the end of the therapy in 2004, I still had one larger than usual or larger than expected lymph node. And because of that, the doctor recommended further treatments and further chemotherapy, radiotherapy, radiation therapy. And I just had this feeling and sense that is just not right. And we took a risk there with my family. It was effectively a calculated risk of taking 3 months off and basically redoing the whole series of tests and checks afterwards. And after taking this period of 3 months off, and when we came to do the next round of basically tests, which was a PET scan, I was shown to be in full remission. So taking that period of time off and just ending the stress and the pressure of chemotherapy seems to have worked out okay then, and it seems to be okay so far and today as well, knock on wood.
So that was a very unusual decision in a way. So you didn't do any other treatment. You simply decided to have a break and see what would happen.
That is correct. We have consulted with the doctor who initially did the diagnosis, and she recommended that since chemotherapy was working so well and I was making so much progress and there was really only one more lymph node in the way of full recovery, she suggested that taking a few months off with the view of potentially continuing treatment, if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Basically, we followed her recommendation. It was a big decision for the family. It was a big decision for, you know, my parents and for me as well. But it ultimately turned out right.
Fortunately, a gamble that paid off very well. Okay, so that was something like 15 years ago we're talking about now. And
yes,
I can imagine that with that treatment behind you, many people in your position would have been keen to get life back onto track and reconnect with the future that once seemed such a certainty. Is this what happened? Did you just want to get out there and get back to your life again?
Absolutely. I was 18 years old and full of energy and full of plans, and I just basically wanted to follow through on that. And then cancer came into my life and came into our life, and that just put a stop to it and said, okay, just, you know, take some time, reassess, go through cancer, heal, and then afterwards you're able to continue. And this is really what happened, fortunately. Mm. My big dream at the age of 18 was to study abroad. That was the next big thing for me. I was very fortunate to have grown up in an environment where foreign languages and really an international community was very much part of the way of living, and that has really inspired me to explore beyond the world and the borders of Hungary. And so when cancer came and I didn't have this opportunity for a year, I had to defer the plans. I just had all this energy sort of pent up inside of me that said that once it is over, I just want to go full steam ahead.
All right.
And that is what happened following the treatment, yes.
But at some point, you've decided to revisit this period of your life because it was obviously extremely traumatic and it probably affected you very deeply, whereas you might wanting to be seeing it as a bit of a blimp that was, got that behind and we get on with things. It's probably, had a pretty startling effect on you, in fact.
You are absolutely right. And even while I was going through the treatment and going through cancer and afterwards, I always kept notes and journals and ideas. A lot of them were circulating in my head and some of them were paper. And to be honest, it was getting a bit out of control. So I thought that putting it all together into a book would be just a wonderful way to summarize everything. Mm. And a few more reasons that really led to the writing of the book. I thought that cancer was, at the time, was the worst possible thing that could have ever happened in my life. But
fair enough.
Really going through that year helped me to mature, helped me to grow up. So I just thought that there was such a particular and peculiar point in time that actually wasting all the lessons that I have learned during that and not having some sort of tangible form where it's all organized, that would be just a waste of call it experience. And this is what ultimately led to the writing of the book.
I understand. And how much do you think you're writing the book for your own benefit, in a way of kind of processing what happened to you retrospectively? And how much do you think it was like what you just said, to actually put together what was useful learning to you and put it out to other people?
I would definitely say that writing the book was therapy for me, or it was like therapy for me. Revisiting all those emotions and thoughts and ideas and bad days, good days was extremely helpful. But I also thought that since I have gone through this process and having written this book, maybe this would be helpful for other people that are going through this period as well. And the book is really an honest recollection of my experience. It's not a misery memoir, if you will, but it's more sort of, okay, this is what happened to me on a day-to-day basis. This is how I dealt with all the adversity that I was facing. Some days were great, some days were not so great. But I think it's very important to share everything, openly and honestly.
Absolutely.
And perhaps that would be to the benefit of other people that are facing that part of my life where I was, 15 years ago or so.
Mm. And how much do you think the book is particularly aimed at young people, and how much do you think it's just applies to anybody in that situation?
I think that's a good question. Given where I was in terms of my age and part of my life, I would guess that it's probably easier for the younger generation to relate to as well, but because cancer is such a universal experience, and the experience, if you break it down to the various aspects, it's really quite similar. It's effectively facing adversity and going through this roller coaster of emotions.
Okay.
So I think it also makes it easier for other people to relate to as well that are facing cancer.
Okay, so I suspect you felt very ill-equipped to deal with the situations that you were thrown into so young. But we're just talking about older people. I suspect in a curious way, most people are pretty empty-handed when faced with a challenge like that. It can strip away everything that people take for granted and all the stuff that gives life meaning from day to day. Would it be true to say that in a certain way, though, you actually feel lucky to have faced such an experience so early in your life?
I absolutely agree. But I think to get to the position where you are able to look at it, you really need to have a certain perspective on life and really have to appreciate that life is really a finite, it's a finite experience. And going through such such experiences like cancer or any other illness or life-threatening experience can definitely bring more meaning to life. And that was definitely the case for me as well. And from what I read of other people that faced way more serious challenges than I have, having come out on the other hand was a huge benefit to their life afterwards.
So you used the word finite, you know, you said it was a finite experience. And so you're referring directly to the fact that the illusion, if you like, that people live with, that they're going to live forever, was knocked on the head quite firmly. And you realise that actually we're here for a limited time.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Mm. Yeah. I remember hearing a great quote many years ago on the radio. I've no idea who was saying it now, but it went something like, "I've been to the bottom and can report that it's firm." So I never forgot it. I thought it was really good. And in a way, it's saying that going to the bottom isn't all bad. And you find out there that contrary to our worst fear, that your worst fear is that there isn't a bottom at all. It can provide a new and firm foundation for life forward from that point. Was that your experience? Because I know you sunk quite low during the course of your treatment, didn't you?
Yes. But it is quite hard to define what is the bottom, because it's all relative. So from my experience on Sunday, I thought that the place where I was, whether it's going through chemotherapy and going through all the side effects, I thought that that was the bottom. Mm-hmm. But some days proved to be much, much worse than that. But after a while, you get into this rhythm whereby saying that, okay, where I am today, it is indeed bad, but tomorrow is another day. And probably things going to improve from there. And that's been really my experience, that even on some of the darkest days of going through chemotherapy, where I thought that there was really no way that it's going to get worse, that it's going to get better, it just got better.
Right.
So I would agree with the quote, that you sort of figure out where is the end of all that suffering, and there is a possibility, even just a slight possibility, that things might get better from tomorrow.
Yeah, I had a very interesting experience. My own daughter had cancer, and she had cancer as a child, and she also had it when she was a young adult, like you. And she described the difference between the two experiences and talked, really, the big challenge was the mind. And that when she was a child, basically, if she felt okay, she felt okay, and that was that. And if she didn't, she didn't. But once she was an adult, the future loomed large, and every time she felt bad, that brought the future, you know, loomed up as being endless suffering, and where's it going to, and all those kind of things. And she felt it was a very different thing to deal with that, to this much more in the moment experience of being a child. In some ways, you're talking about going back to an experience which is much more like a child's.
Yes. I had an experience of seeing younger children go through cancer. Mm-hmm. And their bravery and the way they're able to face what they're going through, to me, is just remarkable. Their courage, even if, as you mentioned, some days might get bad, they just have this courage that, okay, this is what I have today, this is what I have to deal with today. And I guess as we go older, our perceptions of life get layered on today that we experience, and we inadvertently think about the past or the future, and that can really sway our moods and our courage. And that was definitely the case for me as well. It's the learning of staying in the present that was probably one of the most challenging thing that I had to deal with going through cancer. It's very easy to paint the future as something really, really bad, or think about the past as really, really great because you didn't have cancer then. But the fact is that you are here today and you have cancer today. You don't know if you're going to have cancer in the future, but you have it now. So really your duty and your task and the responsibility to yourself is to do whatever you can today to handle the matter at hand and to really be in the best state of mind to deal with cancer. And to me, that was probably one of the hardest things to do during this 1 year experience.
Mm. So we're often exhorted to sort of be here and be in the moment, these kind of things. In some ways, this experience has helped you to do that, maybe because you've needed to more than most people. Can you talk about that at all?
I think back of experiences when I was, you know, laying in the hospital and laying in the hospital bed and receiving chemotherapy, and I could think about the future or I could think about the past, but really I had nowhere else to go. I was there today in the hospital bed and going through all of that one goes through during cancer. And if I wanted to recover, not just physically, but mentally as well, I really had to find a way to stay present. And, you know, it would be small things like bringing my mind back. If it wandered too far, just having this conversation with myself that, okay, today it's really bad. I know that it looks really bad, but you are doing all the things that you have to do to get through cancer. And that sort of ping pong match in my head has helped. And this experience with cancer has also led me to discover mindfulness and meditation, which 15 years ago wasn't that popular as it is today.
Right.
That was actually really helpful as well.
Mm. Yeah, I just done a show on mindfulness. It's interesting you say that, because actually what you just described about coming back to the fact you're in the hospital bed and you're doing all you can to get well, in a way, that's a kind of meditation, isn't it? Bringing your attention back to the current situation.
That's the practice,
yes. Yeah. So just could you say a bit more about the mindfulness and what practice you did and how it helped you?
Sure. So it was totally random and unplanned. The way I normally got ready for chemotherapy is finding a quiet spot in the gigantic hospital that I would be treated normally, you know, getting away from the crowds and really simply focusing on my breathing, just focusing in and out on the breath. And I ultimately found that has really calmed my mind down. So the breath became sort of an anchor to my presence.
Right.
And I wouldn't say that I was always able to do it. And, you know, sometimes things got out of control and, you know, the chemotherapy would have really, really bad side effects. But I would say that has definitely made my experience easier. Just being able to focus on the present. And I know that these are these sort of buzzwords today. But back then, that to me was totally revolutionary and was definitely helpful in going through cancer.
Mm. And what about now? Is it something you still find useful, or has it done its job?
No, it's actually a practice that I've incorporated into my life since then. And today I practice something called TM, Transcendental Meditation, which I have learned a couple of years ago. It's a more formal mantra-based version of meditation twice a day, 20 minutes, which I just find to be extremely useful.
Okay, so the experience of life-size challenges such as the one you went through is of having things taken away, most notably the future, as we discussed, the future you had planned. This can be an excruciating experience. It's not really something you'd wish on anyone. But looking at it more objectively, many of the things we're losing could really come under the heading of our illusions. So from a certain point of view, you could say that it was a good thing. For most people, a degree of certainty may seem like a prerequisite for life and something they would hold very dear. But one of the greatest challenges of something like a cancer diagnosis is that the illusion of certainty can be brutally stripped away, leaving us unprotected from the raw uncertainty of life. Is this something you can relate to? And can you say something about living in a way that actually embraces uncertainty?
Yes, that's quite an idea. And absolutely right. Most people never had to deal with cancer in their life, and when they're first diagnosed, you know, you might hear about it on the TV and you might see somebody, you know, go through it, but there is nothing like having the diagnosis on yourself and right. You being tossed into a situation where you actually have to be the one to go through it. You know, it's almost like the in quotation marks, the hero's journey, right. where you are actually the person that's facing it. And nowadays it's easier because there are set treatments, there are set regimens. So there are sort of borders and walls within which cancer patients have to live. So that makes life easier. But still, nobody really tells you some of the darkest thoughts that you might experience about your life. And you know, I was 18, so I never had family, I never had children. All I had to think about was myself.
Okay.
But if you are further along in life, you have more responsibilities as well. So I can imagine what that must have been like, but I cannot really say that I have experienced it, because you know, I was just at a different stage in my life where people ahead would face more complications. But I would say just the process of facing cancer and having the idea of, you know, having chemotherapy or radiation therapy or all kinds of or any other kind of operation and all this esoteric language that's sort of thrown around cancer, that's something very, very hard to process. Mm. And there is definitely a lot of uncertainty. And for me personally, the decision to not to continue with chemotherapy after my design treatment was done, even though I wasn't fully healed, that was also a big uncertainty that my family took on.
Yes. So do you think it's changed your relationship to needing certainty in life? Has it made you more able to respond to life more spontaneously, maybe, or to have less need to tie things down?
I think being able to live in a life that's less orderly and has more chaos has definitely been easier for me. And certainly in an industry like business and finance and investments where I work today, mm-hmm. nothing is really certain. So to be able to say to myself, or just to have this conversation that, yes, things, financial markets might be up and down, but still, it's really, really the fundamentals that matter. I think it teaches you a perspective of patience and being able to think long term and not have my mind really whipsawed by external events.
Right. So you're not so prey to the moment in terms of your emotions and your thoughts about a particular situation. You've got a kind of bigger perspective on things.
Yes, but it's hard. Just because the way humans are wired, and you will know this better than me, but fear and the fear of anything, the fear of loss, the fear of less, as you know, can really, really impact the way we think. Mm. But being able to be honest with myself and say and have a fundamental reason of doing something, have a why, I think that helps to really That really helps me to stay in the present and stay focused when everything around me is going up and down.
Right. Okay. So that's something important you've just said then. So where did you get that from? Because a lot of people don't have that, do they?
I think it's when you face something so life-threatening like cancer, which pushes you so much to the extreme, and you have to live in that world for almost a year. Your perspective on life and your relationship to life and things changes as well. So you are really able to pinpoint what are the few things that matter, and beyond that, what are the things that don't matter. So to me, that was very, very helpful.
Mm. So if you like, it's changed your priorities.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. You realize that for me, I try to live in a way, and it's separate not every day, where health comes first. That to me is very, very important.
Mm. Well, understandably so. Okay, so are you able to sum up the ways in which your life has been different as a direct result of your teenage experiences? Just in a nutshell, what would you say were the key differences that directly as a result of you going through that experience?
I think just having the perspective of understanding or figuring out what are the few things that are really, really important to me in my life. I know that this is a big group of things and it's a big word, but really, as we just talked about it, having priorities, being able to focus on the task at hand, having a vision for the long term, having patience, and understanding that that just because today looks really bleak, there is always a slight hope that tomorrow might look better. I think that really that perspective that has helped me a lot. And I'm not quite sure that I would have gotten it had I not been through cancer. You read about these things in books or hear about them, but it's not always easy to conceptualize them and to really make it a part of your life. Sometimes you need something to the extreme, not necessarily cancer, but some kind of an extreme to make you really understand that what are the key things that are important to you.
Mm. Yeah, it's a conundrum in a way, because of course you wouldn't wish your circumstances on anybody else, I'm sure, you know, having to go through all that. But then how do people gain that kind of all the benefits of that without the hard experience? It's quite a conundrum, isn't it?
Yes, the Buddhist mantra is, or the key Buddhist concept is, that life is suffering.
Right.
and you basically learn to live with that suffering, but don't let that suffering take your mind away to places where it shouldn't go. So that's the practice, and it's hard. It's very hard, but going through certain, either, you know, be it smaller or larger events in your life that one would categorize as extreme, in hindsight, can be quite helpful in understanding that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that in itself is quite a good message, really, is that when you are suffering, the pattern is that there's going to be something good will come out of this, even if it's not great right now.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to lastly ask you about another aspect of your experience. You already mentioned that it wasn't just a hard time for you, but it was a hard time for your family. Now, I don't know, have you got siblings? You got brothers and sisters?
I do have a younger brother, yes.
Okay, so you've got a younger brother and your obviously your parents as well. I just wonder how much you have shared your experiences with them, really, in any depth. And how much you've understood their experience, and what you found out.
I think I only understood their experience years later when we had conversations about this period of time. And because back then we were so focused on, you know, just putting together as a family and finding a way for us to get through this illness. My my parents were always there. They were always supportive. Also, my brother as well. I was studying in a boarding school kind of setup where my brother was as well. So often when I would be, you know, totally wiped out after the treatment, he would look after me. Even he was a couple years younger than me. So it really felt that I am not going through cancer on my own. I'm part of a larger whole, of a larger group, and that was actually very, very helpful. So understanding and creating a support group of family and friends and doctors was probably one of the biggest lessons that I have learned after cancer. And whenever I meet with people who are going through cancer, that's always one of my recommendations, just to have at least a few people who can be there for you when you are going through it, because alone it's extremely hard. And I couldn't even imagine what would I have done if I was alone.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right there. And, I mean, it can be extremely hard on carers, especially so their parents, I think. And it can also be extremely hard on siblings who have to take a sort of, mandatory back seat for an extended period of time. And often these people who've been in these situations don't really realize what it's taken out of them until quite some time afterwards, and they don't necessarily get the support and help that they could do with at the time. So there's quite a bit of suffering there. Is this something that's been spoken about in your family?
I would say that cancer doesn't just affect the person that goes through it. It also affects the family as well. And it sounds very good and even great to say that I'm fighting cancer, but really nobody fights cancer solo. Nobody does it alone. Mm. And there is no physical toll on the carers, if you will, maybe if they're looking after you. But it's more sort of an emotional toll that often takes years to process or just years to understand. But I think having this sort of conversation within the family, writing the book where having my family's input in the book has been actually really, really helpful for us. And, you know, it was a therapy for me. I think it was a therapy for them as well. So it's almost like a big group therapy session.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, well, look, I think we're going to finish it there. Thanks very much indeed for sharing your insights and your enthusiasm for everything you've learned. Can you just finish off by reminding listeners about your book, the title, and how they can get hold of a copy?
Sure. So the book is called 18 and Cancer, and it was published at the beginning of November. The book is available on any Amazon, both in the Kindle and paperback version. And there is also a website with more information. And the website is my name, so tamasvincze.com. It's spelled as tamasvincze.com, where there is more information on the book as well. And there is also a link to an email if you want to get in touch with me. And please do. I would love to meet with other people as well and get to know them.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much indeed, Tamas.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Details of Tamas's book and website are on the Yes to Life website. Just go to yestolife.org.uk and click the Yes to Life show logo on the homepage. Yes to Life has two events coming up that you may want to go to. On the 7th of March in Camden, London, there's a free event in aid of Free Wills Month, designed especially for people with cancer to take you through the process in an easy to understand way. And on the 21st of March in central London at the Bloomsbury Gallery, we have a hot topic. It's Let's Talk Cannabis, led by two experts, researcher Dr. O'Sullivan and legal specialist Dr. Fisher. Hope you enjoyed today's show, and you can listen again next week. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.